Amen. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be in church tonight and what we've already received and the special music and all the other congregational songs. It's a blessing to be in church. I trust you see it that way as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1. We've been in the book of Ruth now for a little while and still here in chapter 1. Just so much here as we get established. And understanding that even though it might seem like that Naomi is the main character, God calls this book the book of Ruth, amen? And Ruth is the main character, this Moabitess, a lost Moabitess who becomes a saved woman being used by an almighty creator God. And so we find here in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the last 2 weeks we studied the Ruth's clearly stated commitment to move to Israel and to become a child of God's. And if you remember here, she said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou shalt lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. The only connection that Ruth would have to a creator God would be Naomi. And where thou diest, will I die, and where there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And we studied that. What a powerful commitment that God has recorded from this previously lost Moabitess, who now is becoming a child of God's. And so with that, let's go ahead and stand. We're going to be reading the rest of the chapter, verse 19, down to verse 22, as we study their arrival in Bethlehem. Their arrival in Bethlehem. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, we thank you for this privilege to be in church and for each one that has taken advantage of their opportunity to be here tonight. I pray, God, that you would now just help us to put everything else out of our hearts and minds. Focus on what you have for us out of these verses that we've just read. And I believe, God, that there's so much here that will be a help to us tonight. And so I pray that you'd empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, now Naomi knows the heart of Ruth. She knows that she is steadfastly minded to go to Israel and serve God. They're now going to make this journey to Bethlehem. It would be quite a journey for them. The Bible doesn't say anything about what took place on the journey other than that they had this journey. Now, we are looking at this and we're studying these two Bible characters, Naomi and Ruth, and they are both going to Bethlehem or back into the homeland of Naomi where they're going to set up residence there and start living as the children of God. It would be Naomi, who was backslidden out of God's will, being out of Bethlehem, is now going back to the will of God. She knows this. And now she's traveling back, and she has with her Ruth. Naomi, if you would, she would have to be a little bit sad as she would remember her past life. And she mentions that, how that she went out full. We'll look at that in just a minute. But her past life, she's going back now. She remembers this journey that she had out of Bethlehem and going to Moab. It was a journey. She had a husband. She had two sons. This is 10 years ago. And now she's returning, understanding she's going back to the will of God, but she's sad because her husband's gone. In her own words, she knows that God took her husband for the decisions that were made that led the family out of the will of God. The Lord took her two sons, by her own confession, concerning their decisions to stay in Moab after marrying these two Moabitesses. So she's going back now, but she's going back a little sad because she doesn't have her husband. Her two sons are gone. She might even be a little bit embarrassed. See, when people realize that they've been out of the will of God and they're coming back to the will of God, it might be a little hard to face those that they left, thinking that they knew more in leaving God's will than what they did in staying in God's will. Thinking they were going to, because they was going to have get more out of life. They were going to be able to live however they wanted to live and do whatever they wanted to do in Moab. And now they're coming back a little embarrassed to have to face those very same people that had been faithful to stay in the will of God, to work it out through the trials and work it out through the chastisement of God upon the land and the drought of the land. A little embarrassed to come back, face them, especially with the losses that they had. Now, Ruth, on the other hand, I'm just be mindful, this is what's taking place. Before we hear from Naomi, this is what's taking place. So she has had this long journey to think about her sadness and her embarrassment. She probably planned out what she was going to say. Ruth, totally different. Ruth, a little bit nervous, but extremely excited. Because it's a new beginning for her. It's a new life in her belief in a creator God. And she's going back into this land that she only heard about, how that their God delivered them, all of the other inhabitants of the land, and gave this land to his people Israel. And she has the privilege now of calling that very same God her God. So totally different mindsets of both of them going back to Bethlehem. When they get back, Naomi speaks her piece. When they're on their way to Bethlehem, probably Ruth wanted Naomi to be excited for her. But Naomi had not even considered, doesn't seem like, Ruth. She was so caught up in her own sadness and embarrassment. So Ruth might have been hindered by Naomi's attitude and bitter spirit, as she was excited, but she realized Naomi wasn't. In verse 20, it helps us to see a little bit about her bitter spirit. And it says, "And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. I'm not pleasant, I'm bitter. For God hath dealt very bitterly with me." Why then call ye me pleasant, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Attitude adjustment. But more than anything, I think Ruth was hindered. She wanted somebody to be excited about her new life. Ruth wanted somebody to say, I'm so excited that you're saved. I'm so excited that you found a church. I'm so excited that you have an opportunity to go back and start a new life and serve God. Yeah. Can I tell you, this is happening too often today? And a lot of those who should know better don't. We have to think, is my attitude being used by Satan to hinder the cause of Christ or the advancement of another believer, a young child of God's? Am I setting the right example by my attitude when I'm around them? Romans chapter 14 and verse 3. This is just setting the table, if you will, for what we're going to deal with and what Ruth said. Romans in chapter 14. Ruth's in the wrong, no doubt about it. Or not Ruth, Naomi's in the wrong. Ruth would want to have somebody to rejoice with. And the obvious one that should have been rejoicing with Ruth should have been Naomi. But back in Romans chapter 14 and verse 13, the Bible says this. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. This is what we need to spend our time and our mindset on. Judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall. To hinder somebody is an occasion to fall. To take away somebody's joy is an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Talking negatively about church or church leaders in front of children is giving Satan an occasion to put wrong thinking in their heads. To go home to a backslidden spouse and talk about the negative things that you might have experienced in the fellowship of God's people or the church is giving an occasion for Satan to keep him out of church. We ought to think about the attitude that we have toward God and to his work when we're around, especially around the lost, but even when we're around the brethren. Should my negative attitude, should I allow Satan to use that to be a hindrance to somebody that needs to be encouraged in their joy? When you come to church, think about that. Do I come to church to be an encouragement or just to have a stinking attitude that Satan wants to use to discourage anybody that you're sitting around or has the nerve to ask you how you're doing? That's what's taking place right here. When you think of Naomi and you think of Ruth, they have this long journey. Ruth is thinking about how she's going to respond in her sadness and her embarrassment, not even considering that there's a young believer right next to her. Somebody that the only connection that they have to God is through her. And she wants her to be excited about her coming home and putting God in her life. But she is so selfish. She's not even thinking about how her attitude is impacting others. Wow. That's introduction. Now go back to verse 19. Applying it is going to be easy. It's going to be helpful. But Naomi's return, Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a small town. If the Bible says here, they two went until they came to Bethlehem. Now they would have had to go into Israel and through other towns, and they were focused on going back to Naomi's home where she lived before she went to Moab, because God had revealed to her, you're backslidden and you better get back to where you started turning away from God. The idea of repentance and the idea to get back into the will of God is you got to go back to the point that you turned away from God. Wherever that's at, don't stop halfway there. You have to go all the way back to where you made the decision to turn your back on God. When you made the decision to do something that God said, don't do. If you're going to have God's forgiveness and cleansing and have any hope of joy in your life, as you repent of what has happened in your life, your backslidden condition, go back to where it started. They didn't stop anywhere else. They were headed to Bethlehem. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come into Bethlehem. The Bible wants you to see that it was Bethlehem where God had led her to go back to. Now she had repented. She was going back. She doesn't have a right attitude yet. She's still upset and she's still bitter at God because she's blaming God for taking away her husband. She's blaming God for taking away her two sons. She's blaming God for taking away her finances. And there's still a bitterness there. After 10 years, small town, the people would have remembered. Have people that have left the church, out of town, whatever, they come back maybe 10 years later, you still remember them. Sometimes you have to say, is that Naomi? You've changed. And you have to use your words, you know, you don't want to... You know, they might have put on a few extra pounds. They might have lost their hair. A lot of different things can happen in 10 years. It would have been headline news. That's how big of an impact it was when they left. The Bible says, look right here, this is what the Bible says, that all, and God doesn't exaggerate, all the city was moved about them, Naomi and Ruth. If there was a newspaper, the headline news would have read, Naomi is back. And she's brought a Moabitess with her. Yeah. But they said, is this Naomi? That's what it says right there. With a question mark. Scars of sin and stress had aged her body. Her sadness, her embarrassment, she didn't come back with a spark that she had when she left. The sassiness that she might have had when she said, hey, I know what I'm doing. Don't tell me God's will for my life. If I want to go to Moab, I can go to Moab. Who are you to tell me that I'm an adult? Who are you to tell me that I can't go to Moab? I don't care what the Bible says. This is how I feel. And I know the man upstairs, and I ask him if it'd be all right. Who are you to tell me it's out of God's will for me? Well, if it's what the Bible says, listen to me. There's no man upstairs. There's a holy God in heaven. And he has given to us his word. And if you're going against his word, you're out of his will. No matter what you might think, what you might try to excuse, you're out of his will if you're going opposite God's word. So she comes back broken. Not sassy any longer. Defeated, sad, embarrassed. Her appearance showed it all. How she handled herself. You can just imagine her head bowed, embarrassed, wouldn't even look them in the eye. And then she charged her charge against God. Still having an attitude adjustment here. I mean, she's not thinking clearly yet. Her attitude has been a hindrance to the one thing that God has given her to do. To be an example to Ruth. God has made me bitter. Not pleasant anymore. Don't call me. Don't call me Naomi, no. There's no joy in my heart. There's no pleasantness in my life. God has made me bitter. Call me Mara, because that's my testimony. That's who I am. God has taken everything away. Isn't that what she says? Look what she says right there. She said to him, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty, she does acknowledge him as being the Almighty, hath dealt very bitterly with me. Is that how you see it? I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. That's true. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? That's true. God did judge you. God did chasten you. But you're not seeing it the way you need to see it. Your family gone? Yeah, true. Finances gone? True. With this type of thinking, there's absolutely zero chance that she will ever experience joy in her life. Her family had put God in a place where she forced him to judge her instead of blessing her. That's reality. Too often we get angry at God, we get bitter at God because this happens and that happens and that happens, and we are not seeing things the way they are. If you would have stayed in Bethlehem, you still could have had your husband. You could have had the will of God for your life. You could have had your two sons. You could have had your finances. If you had just stuck it out and looked to God. But no, you left. You went against God. You put God in a place of judging you instead of blessing you. And now you want to blame God. Zero chance of joy. Zero. Until you change your thinking. Kids have so many good illustrations. And I know they're nervous right now thinking about which one I'm going to use. Crystal's acting up in services. As a youth pastor, I sit in the second or third pew with all the youth. She's 4. Settle down. I said, settle down. She did it one more time. I picked her up. Now I'm in the front pew. The preacher's up there preaching. Second, front, in the front of the pew. I picked her up. She starts screaming, somebody help me! Somebody! Crystal, you're really getting it now. I have to walk all the way down the aisle. Everybody's looking. Nobody's listening to the preacher. Amen? Somebody help me! Took her in the bathroom. And I said, you know you're going to get it, don't you? Yeah. I said, do you know why? You have put me in a position because of what you've done. Now I've got to discipline you because God tells me to discipline you when you act up and disobey. Do you understand that? I do. Yes, I do. But why does it have to hurt? Yeah. I disciplined her, tears flying down her face. I said, hug me. No. I did it out of love. You will hug me, or you're going to get it again. Don't put me in that position again. I would rather bless you than have to punish you. Can I tell you that's God's feelings? That's God's heart? But he's a righteous and just God. Don't test him. Don't put him in the position where he has to discipline you when he would rather bless you. Wow. Looked at it wrong. What Naomi failed to acknowledge was standing right beside her. God makes sure that we know that in verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. Are you really empty? You don't have nothing? Or is it that you're just blinded to what you do have? The Bible says it's Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, a lost woman who is now a saved woman looking to serve the Almighty God. Can I tell you, if we're still alive, if you make it through the judgment period, who has it say that we keep our children alive so that we have grandchildren? I don't know. Yeah. But if you're still alive, God has future plans for us. He didn't have future plans for Elimelech. That's why he's not here. That's why he's not there. He didn't have future plans for neither one of the two boys. That's why they're no longer on planet Earth. Naomi still was alive. Matter of fact, verse 21, she said it even though she didn't realize what she said. In verse 21, I went out full, and she's thinking I come home again empty, but in between I went out full and come home again empty, and the Lord hath brought me home again. You didn't die in Moab. You could have very easily died in Moab. The Lord did bring you home. He's given you a second chance. He's given you a purpose for life. If you're still alive, no matter what your past holds, no matter what you've come through, no matter where you're at now, if you're still alive, there's still hope. And God has future plans if you make the right decisions. The Lord has brought me home. It's not too late. If you're still alive, it's not too late to come home to God. We sing it, and I don't think we even realize some of the words, some of the songs that we sing. Jesus is tenderly calling. Calling thee home, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam? Farther and farther away. Calling today. Jesus, you're still alive. Jesus is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest. Calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Jesus is waiting. Oh, come to him now. Waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet. Lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Jesus is pleading. Oh, list to his voice. Hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today. Jesus, if you're still alive, it's still his will for your life, and he's still calling you home. She had a daughter-in-law. Naomi has a daughter-in-law. God has a purpose for Naomi And God has a purpose for Ruth. And for Naomi, it would have to be a redirection of God's will. A redirection of God's will is, if you will, is somewhat like a permissive will of God. You've blown the will of God, the perfect will of God. Perfect will of God would have been that you stay home with your husband, two boys, and serve God and learn whatever it is that you're in this trial, going through this drought in the land of Israel. God had already told you, if your land suffers, if you're in a drought, if you have all this, then call to me. They ran from God. God's will for it would have been for them to stay there. They ran from God. And so now God is judging and chastening because they put God in the position. Now she's no longer going to be the wife to Elimelech. He's dead. He's gone. Can't do that. That perfect will is gone. She can no longer be the mother to those two boys because they're gone. But God has brought you a redirection of his will. He doesn't shelf his children. Amen. He wants to use you. Amen. And sometimes we're blinded to the ministry that God has revealed to us, which for Naomi, it would be disciple Ruth. Disciple. God has a plan for Ruth. We're going to see this as we go through the book of Ruth, and we're going to see how God orchestrates it all and brings it all together. But Naomi, get your attitude adjusted. Start looking to what God has given to you. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12, when Zerubbabel laid the foundation for the new temple, they said there was two different responses. We don't have time to go there. As you'll find it, Ezra chapter 3, read that. There's two responses. One had been for those that had seen the original temple. But because God had to judge his people, take them into captivity, they destroyed that temple. And now what Zerubbabel was rebuilding, it was not as dynamic. It was not the size of the old temple. But it was a redirection for the children of God. If we don't have time to go there, but 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 10, King Rehoboam had made some mistakes. He lost the shields of gold that Solomon had built, had made. Because of mistakes and sin, God allowed them to lose the shields of gold. But Rehoboam made shields of silver. A redirection of the will of God. Might not be able to have the gold. But if you're still alive, there's some silver shields. There's a new foundation. Might not be as great and as grand as the old one, but there's a new direction. Ruth was a lost Moabitess. A miracle. She is now in Bethlehem with a desire to worship and to serve God. Naomi, turn your focus on her. It's God's redirected will for your life. And you can do it. You can do it. Praise God for his permissive will in our lives. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. There's so much more in the Word of God. If you really break it down, you start studying it, and you understand these biblical principles that have New Testament direction for us. I don't know where you're at now. I don't know what's happened in your life, but I do know that if you're alive, you have opportunities. God has a will for your future. A redirection. a redirection of God's will for your life. Thank Him for it. Don't get bitter. Thank Him for His love, His undying, His unchanging love that can redirect our purpose for life. Not going to have a musical invitation tonight. I don't usually do that on Wednesday night, but there's an invitation. God spoke to you tonight. If there's something going on, you need to bring it to the altar right now. Just bring it to the altar. Whatever it might be. If you need somebody to pray with you, there'll be somebody here available. If you just need to do it in your pew, make an altar out of your pew. Just don't let it pass you by. If God spoke to you tonight, powerful truth, let God use it. Father, as we bow before you again, we love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. Thank you for never giving up on your children. Thank you, Father, for giving us a second and third chances in life and redirecting your will to whatever situations that we find ourselves in. And I pray, God, that you would just continue to work in the lives of our church and our people. And Father, many decisions being made tonight, you know what's taking place. I pray for each one of them, God, that you would just wrap your arms around them and comfort them, strengthen them, and redirect them so they can find the joy of the Lord and serving you in whatever will and call is for their lives. I pray, God, as we leave here tonight, that you'd watch over us, get us all home safely, and bring us back at the next appointed hour. For this we pray in Jesus' name.